good evening, church. We have been called to worship. Amen. Thank you, choir and orchestra, for making that call for us tonight. Let's continue worshiping by praying together, then we'll recognize some guests. Father, thank you for calling us here. Father, to share and worship and praise, and we pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would inhabit that very praise. So much so, Father, that it would tune us in to what you're saying to us in song and in spoken word. Father, not so much that we grow smarter, but God, that we change more. And we thank you for that. May we become more like the Redeemer of our souls as we go through this night and leave here to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, welcome indeed to Awesome August, our final installment of 2018. Pastor Ray, it's hard to believe it's coming on again. But for the 14th consecutive year, our pastor will introduce to you a man who needs no introduction. So I'll leave it to him in just a few moments. But I'm just wondering, if you're not in the Ridgecrest family, would you mind just slipping your hand up and let us see you tonight? Ridgecrest, would you welcome those that are with us? Amen. And don't forget, we have Wednesday night a meeting here. Our pastor has Bible study and many things at 6 p.m. And then each of our worship services on Sunday at 8:15 and at 10:45. If you're looking for a church home, we'd love to have you visit with us this coming Sunday as we worship together. Brother Tim, you lead us.
Let's stand together and welcome each other tonight.
Two. I tell myself, keep walking on. Here's something up ahead, waterfalling like a song. An everlasting stream, your river carries me home. Let it flow, let it flow. Oh.
let me add to Chuck's words, welcome. So good to have you out on this final. It's been a fast month of Mondays, and it's been great. I hope you've enjoyed them as much as we have. And I feel kind of funny introducing Fred to this congregation. I mean, we adopted him several years ago as an honorary member. And you notice if you're new and you haven't been here before, when Fred has been here, you notice I just kind of walked in and left him alone, let him do his thing. He knows where he is and he wanders about and I just let him go. And that's how familiar he is with us and how familiar we are with him. I leaned over and told him, I said, it's like old home day, isn't it? Coming home once a year, being with us. 14 years we've been doing this. Fred is the one constant in all 14 years, and we've already got him scheduled for next year. You know, a good fillet will get a man back, and we've already got him scheduled. I have to tell you something funny. I was at the television studio this morning taping, and one of the hosts at the restaurant that we go to, Hunt's, on Monday nights, they hold it open for us, they know, And so Brian is his name, and he works at the television studio during the daytime. And I'm walking by to go to the production room, and as I'm walking past, I see him in his little office area, and I peek in, and I said, hey, Brian. He said, oh. He said, hey, Pastor. He said, is the man coming tonight? And last Monday evening, when we were leaving there, one of the ladies who runs the front desk there, she said, Brother Ray, is he coming next week? That's what they said. So everybody's looking forward to Fred, whether you're in the restaurant business or whether you're here to worship. And I'm so glad that he is with us. Again, I feel kind of funny introducing him because I just want to say it's Fred. Y'all know it's Fred. But if you have not had the opportunity to hear Fred, you're going to be blessed tonight. Somebody told us this the other day, said, man, he preaches fast. He preaches fast. You've got to listen. And we love that about Fred. Fred has been such a great leader in our Southern Baptist Convention and president of our convention, just a wonderful leader, gifted preacher, as you well know, and has served us and served his church, listen to this, for 31 years of Franklin Avenue Baptist Church in Nawlins is where it is. And he just told me earlier, he said, we're about to go into our new sanctuary. They have built a new sanctuary where they were, which means that was an architectural wonder, really, to build it on that spot and put you guys in that. But he's built a great church. And he's really, listen, here's the interesting thing. Fred has built this church twice. And he planted a couple of others unintentionally. When Hurricane Katrina came through, it just literally wiped them out. And but it sent his people. I think about the diaspora mentioned in Acts. It sent his people out in various other states. And churches were actually started by his congregation when they landed in other places, Birmingham and Mississippi and Houston, Texas. And then he had the task of rebuilding the mothership, really, and did a fantastic job at that. Fred Luter is not just one of my friends. He's one of my heroes. And I'm so glad he's back. Next year, he's going to lead us off. Instead of wrap us up, he's going to lead us off. We got a great lineup. Since this is the last Monday evening, I'll just tell you who we've got lined up already. Brother Fred's going to kick us off next year. Then Dr. Erwin Lutzer of Moody Church will be our guest next year. And then Ed Newton will be here with us. And then Dr. Steve Gaines, Pastor Bellevue in Memphis, Tennessee, will be with us. So already we have a lineup that'll make you want to come back. And Fred is going to kick us off next year. It'll be great. Fred, welcome to your second home. All right, brother. Welcome, Fred. Will you do that? Thank you. God bless you.
Would you stand with me once again? Let's join together in singing a time of offering and praise.
My God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. Heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weakened. Forever He will reign. My God is awesome. He can move the mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome, heals me when I'm broken, strength where I've been weakened, forever He will reign. My God is awesome, 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 awesome.
As we prepare for our offering, tonight's offering will go to Brother Fred Luter. So let us reach down deep into our hearts and give generously. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you so very much for your grace, your mercy, and your love towards us. Thank you for Brother Fred coming to give us a word from you. Lord, I pray as he blesses us, let us bless him. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
you join me in thanking God for this choir, Brother Tim, and the orchestra. Amen. I don't know how the preaching is going to be, but the singing's been real good. Amen. You can always depend on good singing when I come here for Ridgecrest. Good singing and a good filet. Amen. Amen. I look forward to that. Well, good evening. How's everybody doing? It is so good to be back home. Amen. I look forward to this awesome August every year. As a matter of fact, before I make any commitments to any other church, and I preach all across the country, a lot of churches are doing these awesome Mondays in August. I said, I've got to find out when Ridgecrest wants me. Amen. And so after I book that one in, then I'll fit other guys in. But this is a priority. You guys don't know how blessed I have been by coming here. Not only I hope I've been a blessing to you, but you have been a blessing to me. As Brother Ray said earlier, he walks from his office and he just leaves me out there because I'm speaking to all kind of people and people are hugging my necks and thanking me. It's like home, like a homecoming, and I just thank the Lord for that. And I thank the Lord for my friendship with a brother that has meant a lot to me since we first met, and just the friendship that we've developed through the years and what God has done in his life and in his ministry. Will you help me and thank you, God, for your pastor, Pastor Ray Jones. God bless you, brother. What a great, great man of God. He loves God. He loves this church, loves the ministry. And I thank you, my brother, for this wonderful privilege that you've given me through the years. I think when I first came here, I didn't have any gray hair. Amen. I've been coming here that long. Amen. I remember when y'all had red pews. Amen. So I've been coming here quite a while. But thank you, Ray, for the wonderful privilege. Thank you, Chuck, for being my host and getting me here. And I thank all of the staff members and the members of this church, but the chairman, the music ministry, and all of you who have just made my life such a blessing just to be here. It means so, so, so very much. And I just bring you greetings from New Orleans, Louisiana, amen, home of the saints. Who that talking about beating them saints, amen? After I saw what we did to the Los Angeles Chargers Saturday night, Ray, I wrote a letter this morning to the NFL that I suggested that the Saints will play the Chargers every game this year. Amen. And we would be assured of going to the Super Bowl. Amen. Every game this year. But I just thank the Lord for this privilege and opportunity to be back home. Thank God for your prayers with me and for me. As Pastor Ray said, that we'll be moving into a new sanctuary in November. This is my fifth building project since I've been at Franklin Avenue. And I tell you, this one is throwing me over the loop, man. And so we're looking forward to it. When y'all come down to New Orleans, please be sure to visit us at FABC. We're looking forward to some of you who have opportunity to go. A lot of people go when they go on cruises. They will come to our church first and have service, but it will be a joy to have you to come and worship with us there. The new sanctuary should be ready in November. We're kind of landlocked where we are, and the parking, people are parking 5-6 blocks away because there's no parking to speak of, and it's starting to affect our attendance and things like that. So we were supposed to move 13 years ago when Hurricane Katrina hit, was moving to another location, but that location had 12 feet of water on it, and then the Corps of Engineers took the property back from us and said they needed the mud to build up the levees around the city, so we didn't need it anymore because our folks scattered all across America. To this day, we have members in churches all across America, so much so that over 1,000 of our members moved to Houston, Texas after Katrina, and we started a church in Houston, Texas that's going on to this day called Houston's Franklin Avenue Baptist Church. Started a church in Baton Rouge. Over 600 members there, and they're just all across the country. So please be in prayer with us and be in prayer for us. And it's a wonderful joy to be back here at home at Ridgecrest Baptist Church. Well, turn your Bibles with me tonight to the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 10, as we share tonight in the Word of God. The Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 10, as we share in the Word of God. Let me ask you a question as we go into the text, as you look into, why do you come to worship? What's your purpose for leaving out of your house, getting in your car, your truck, or SUV, driving from all over Dothan or wherever you're driving from, find a parking spot here at the Ridgecrest Baptist Church? What's your purpose for coming to worship? Why do you take the time out Sunday after Sunday, week after week, month after month, year after year, and make your way to God's house on the Lord's Day. I want to talk about that tonight from a very familiar passage of Scripture, Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52 of that chapter. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52 of that chapter. If you have it, please say amen. As a matter of fact, y'all can say amen all throughout my sermon. Y'all know I'm kind of used to it. Amen. Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 46. Now there came to Jericho, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Verse 51, so Jesus answered and said to him, Sir, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, Rabbi, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, Go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Our Father and our God, Master, we thank you and we praise you once again for this wonderful and exciting privilege to be at the Ridgecrest Baptist Church for another year of awesome Mondays in August. Thank you, Lord, for Pastor Ray Jones. Thank you for the invitation that he has extended to me one more time. Thank you for the incredible preachers that have been here all this month. Thank you for the messages that they've shared and blessed this congregation with. Now, God, I pray that you would do as I have asked every year that I've stood in this pulpit. And that is, God, let me decrease as you increase. Father, hide me behind the cross. Let them not see Fred. God, let them see Christ. So then, God, that you may be glorified, the saints of God may be edified, Satan may be horrified, and lost sinners will come to repentance. Therefore, God, stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my voice. And I'll be so very careful to give your name all the praise, all of the glory, and all of the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And for us, let the people of God say, amen. Amen. Now, they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho and his disciples, and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. With that text in mind, with that scripture in mind, with this occasion in mind, I want to preach tonight from the subject, an encounter with Jesus. An encounter with Jesus. Ridgecrest, for most of us, it's a weekly routine. For most of us, brothers, it's a weekly habit. Ladies, for most of us, it's a weekly commitment. No matter what else you have to do, no matter what else is on your schedule, no matter what else is on your agenda, but for many of us, if not most of us, it's a weekly routine, it's a weekly habit, it's a weekly commitment. No matter how busy you are, no matter how tired you are, no matter what else you have to do that day or that evening or that night, for most of us, it's a weekly routine. For most of us, it's a weekly habit. For most of us, it's a weekly commitment. And the thing, Ridgecrest, that many of us, if not most of us, are committed to do is attending church on Sunday mornings, coming to the Lord's house on the Lord's Day, attending church on Sunday mornings, being in the Lord's house on the Lord's Day, whether it's the early service or the later service, whether it's the contemporary service or the traditional service, whether we sit in the front of the church or sit in the balcony of the church, no matter who's singing or no matter who's preaching, many of us, ladies and gentlemen, if not most of us, will find ourselves in worship on Sunday morning. We'll be in church on Sunday morning, which leads, ladies and gentlemen, which leads, brothers and sisters, to a very interesting question. For those of us who attend worship on Sunday mornings, for those of us who attend church on Sunday morning. And that question is, my brothers, that question is, my sisters, what is your purpose for coming to worship? What is your purpose for coming to church? You've left your house, you've left your place where you live, you've gotten your car, your truck, or your SUV, you've driven to be here, you found a parking spot, or found a place to sit, and now that you're here, the question of the hour is, what is your purpose for coming to church? What's your purpose for coming to worship? Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me suggest that if you or I attend church for any other reason than to have an encounter with Jesus Christ, we are attending for the wrong reason. If you are coming to worship, if you are coming to church, if you are coming to Ridgecrest Baptist Church or Franklin Avenue Baptist Church or any church that you're a part of, if you are coming for any other reason than to have an encounter with Jesus Christ, you are attending for the wrong reason. And honest with you, Brother Ray, as a pastor, that's my concern as a pastor of a local church. I am concerned that many people that sit in a pew where I pastor week after week, month after month, year after year, I'm concerned that many people that come to worship every week, many people that come to church every Sunday never have an encounter with Jesus Christ. I'm concerned about that as a pastor. I'm concerned about that as the leader of the church where I pastor, that many people come Sunday after Sunday, week after week, month after month, year after year, sitting in our pews, and yet never have an encounter with Jesus Christ. Yes, they have an encounter with the greeters who welcome you at the front door, and y'all have wonderful greeters here at Ridgecrest. I just love coming into the hallway and meeting all those guys and shaking their hands and encouraging me. You have wonderful. Yes, you have an encounter with greeters. Yes, you have an encounter with ushers as you come and they assist you in your seat. Yes, you have an encounter with the person sitting next to you when you came in church. I hope you spoke to them. You're sitting next to that person for almost an hour, hour and a half. I hope you had a chance to know who, hey, how you doing? I hope you just speak to them when you come to church. But how many brothers, how many sisters, how many of us come on a weekly basis? How many of us come to church on a regular basis and have an encounter with Jesus Christ? And the reason, Ridgecrest, that's so critical, the reason, ladies and gentlemen, that's so crucial, is because of what can happen in your life and in my life when you have an encounter with Jesus. Like blind Bartimaeus in our text, this man's life was never ever again the same after his encounter with Jesus Christ. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to notice several things about this encounter blind Bartimaeus had with Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you, if you see how it affected his life and changed his life, hopefully you will be committed from this day forward. Now, when we come to worship, we've come to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. Several things I want you to know. First of all, notice Bartimaeus' condition. But Tim, notice Bartimaeus' condition. Look at verse 46 of Mark chapter 10. The Bible said, the scripture said, the word of God says, now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. Notice, Ridgecrest, Bartimaeus' condition. Bartimaeus was physically blind and he was a beggar. In biblical days, because blind people could not work, they made their living by standing or sitting on corners begging for money. In other words, they were limited in what they could do because they were blind. Blind Bartimaeus could not see the beauty of the sun rising in the east and setting in the west because he was blind. Bartimaeus could not see the moon reflecting off the Jordan River at night because he was blind. Bartimaeus could not see the beautiful flowers in the Garden of Gethsemane because he was blind. And because he was blind, Ridgecrest, he could not see things physically because he was limited. Well, my brothers and my sisters, I believe that the physical condition of Bartimaeus is an example of mankind in our society today, and that is mankind is spiritually blind. I believe that the physical condition of Bartimaeus is an example of mankind in our society today, and that is mankind is spiritually blind. Think about it. It's not that we can't do any better. We can. It's not that we don't have the answers. We do. It's not that we can't get along. We can. Think about it. Your pastor and the first assistant, Auburn and Alabama fan, they get along. I don't understand that, but they get along, all right? Not that we can't get along, we can. It's not that there's no hope for our city, there is. It's not there's no hope for our state, there is. It's not there's no hope for our country, there is. It's not that crime is killing our men, and AIDS is killing our women, and lust is destroying our families, and lack of respect is destroying our teenagers, and racism is destroying our nation. All those are results of a bigger problem, and the bigger problem is mankind cannot see spiritual things because mankind is spiritually blind. Oh, brothers and sisters, oh, Ridge Crest, if mankind could only see that Jesus is the answer for the world today, if mankind could see that Jesus is the answer for America today, if mankind could see that Jesus is the answer to crime, that Jesus is the answer to drugs, that Jesus is the answer to alcohol, that Jesus is the answer to racism, that Jesus is the answer to despair, that Jesus is the answer for hopelessness. If mankind could see that Jesus is the answer for the world today, but not only was blind Bartimaeus limited because of his blindness, Bartimaeus also faced certain dangers because of his blindness. The blindness of being hit by a chariot because he was blind. The danger of being beaten and robbed by someone on the road because he was blind. The danger of getting lost on the city streets of Jericho because he was blind. The danger of being attacked by a wild animal along the street simply because he was blind. Well, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, mankind without Christ in our world today for certain dangers because they are spiritually blind. The danger of playing with sin because they're spiritually blind. The danger of teenage sex because they're spiritually blind. The danger of extramarital sex because they're spiritually blind. The danger of hanging with the wrong crowd because they're spiritually blind. The danger of not listening to their parents because they're spiritually blind. The danger of abusing your body and let somebody else abuse your body because they're spiritually blind. The danger of being deceived by the devil, Satan himself, because they're spiritually blind. The danger of having religion with no relationship because they're spiritually blind. Oh, my brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, whatever your condition may be, I beg you tonight to have an encounter with Jesus Christ because it can make all the difference in the world. Have an encounter with Jesus. Which leads to the second point in my message tonight. Not only notice Bartimaeus' condition, but secondly, Ridgecrest, notice Bartimaeus' cry. Not only notice his condition, but notice Bartimaeus' cry. Look at verses 47, 48, and 49 in the text. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Don't miss verse 49. Pastor, don't miss verse 49. The Bible says, so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise. He is calling you. Notice Bartimaeus' cry. Ridgecrest, ladies and gentlemen, Bartimaeus may not have had eyesight, but Bartimaeus had insight. He might have had eyesight, but Bartimaeus had insight. Look what's happening here. He's on the corner that he's on every day. Have his hand out, have his cup out, help the blind, help the blind, help the blind. But then Bartimaeus noticed that there's something different, Brother Ray, about today's crowd. He noticed that there's more people in the area. He noticed there's more of an excitement in the area. He noticed that there's more chatter and noise in the area. And Bartimaeus just asked somebody, said, hey, man, what's going on today? He said, what you mean, what's going on? He said, bro, I'm on this corner every day. I'm on this corner every day at this time. And I know the traffic on this corner. I know the footsteps on this corner. I know the people that's on. I noticed that today there's more people on this corner. There's more anticipation. There's more chatter. There's more noise. Bartimaeus said, man, what in the world is going on? And the guy said, you haven't heard? I said, no. Say, Jesus of Nazareth will be passing by here in just a few minutes. Say, wait a minute. Bartimaeus said, who? God said, Jesus of Nazareth. Bartimaeus said, wait a minute. Is that the guy that's making the lame to walk? That's him. Is that the guy that's making the deaf to hear? That's him. Is that the guy that's giving sight to the blind? Say, that's him. Bartimaeus said, man, please, please, in the name of James Brown, please, 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 let me know when Jesus is in earsight. They said, we'll do it, we'll do it. So the people were lined up, right? Just like those of you who have ever been to New Orleans for Mardi Gras on St. Charles Avenue or Carnival. People are lined up on both sides of the streets and they're hollering and they're screaming for the parade to come by. And as he was told that Jesus was passing by, when the guy told him, Bartimaeus, he's almost there. Bartimaeus, he's almost in front of you. Bartimaeus, he's always in eyesight. When he said, Bartimaeus, he's almost right in front of you. Bartimaeus began to cry out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And oh, that's a word for somebody tonight in the Ridgecrest Baptist Church. Whether you're in the balcony or whether you're on the bottom level, that's a word for somebody tonight. I don't know what your condition is. I don't know how long you've been in your condition, but I promise you, if you keep calling on Jesus, he will pass by. If you keep calling on the master, he will pass by. Sometimes he'll pass by in a song, Tim, but he will pass by. Sometimes he'll pass by in a song, Pastor, but he will pass by. Sometimes he'll pass by in a letter. Sometimes he'll pass by in a phone call. Sometimes he'll pass by in an email, but he will pass by. Sometimes he'll pass by in a revival. Sometimes he'll pass by in a prayer meeting. Sometimes he'll pass by in an awesome August Monday night service, but he will pass by. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, be sure to have an encounter with Jesus Christ when you come to worship, when you come to the Lord's house on the Lord's day. Don't let him pass you by. Bartimaeus didn't. Look what happens when Bartimaeus called Jesus out in the text. Look at verse 48. Then many warned him to be quiet, and he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy upon me. They would say, man, shut up. We didn't come to hear you. Shut up. We didn't come to hear your voice. But the more they said, shut up, the louder he cried out, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Seven of them said, man, shut up. We didn't come to hear your mouth. That's like some people that come to church who never have an encounter with Jesus Christ. They just come to see who's with who, what she got on, or what he got on. They come to watch. They come to just fold their hands and fold their arms and see what happened. But they never, ever have an encounter with Jesus Christ. The choir is singing songs of Zion. The pastor is preaching out of his heart. But they just sit there saying, Pastor, bless me as you can, if you can. Tim, bless me if you can. But never have an encounter with Jesus Christ. Listen, my brother. Listen, my sister. I've come all the way from New Orleans, Louisiana to encourage you tonight. Don't let anybody stop you from praising God. Don't let anybody stop you from worshiping God. Don't let anybody stop you from having an encounter with Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody stop you from calling on Jesus' name. Don't let anybody stop you from getting from God what God has for you in that worship service. You tell them, that's why I came to church. I came to church for God to move in my life. I came to church for God to move in my marriage. I came to church for God to move in my family, for God to move in my finances. I came to church because I need an answer from God for my prayer. You got a job. I need a job. You got a house. I need a house. You got your rent money. I need my rent money. You got your car note. I need my car note. You got your healing. I need my healing. Your son's at home. My son's in jail. Your daughter is okay. My daughter's in trouble. You got a car. I need a car. You got your blessing. I need a blessing. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. I've come to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. I didn't just come to look. I didn't come to just see who's here, who's not here. Man, you don't know what's going on in my life. You have no clue what's going on in my family. You have no clue what's going on in my marriage. I didn't just come here to go through the motions, to sit, to stand, to give an offering, to say amen. I came to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. And look what happens in verse 49. The Bible said, the scripture said, so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer. Rise, he is calling you. Don't miss that, y'all. Don't miss that. The Bible says, the scripture says, Jesus stood still. Now picture the scene, if you will. He's coming through the town, and people on both sides of the street calling his name. Hail Jesus. Hello, Jesus. Hey, Jesus. And he's walking, walking and walking. But then he, all of a sudden, the Bible say, he stood still. All those people calling his name. All those people trying to get attention. But all of a sudden, he stood still. Why, Ridgecrest? Because he heard a desperate cry. Why? Because he heard a sincere cry. Why? Because he heard a serious cry. Why? Because he heard a troubled cry. And in spite of the fact that hundreds of others were calling his name, Jesus heard the cry of one man who wanted to have an encounter with Jesus. So the Bible says, Jesus stood still. Whoa. In the words of Gomer Powell, golly. That's good news for somebody tonight. Whether you're in the balcony, whether you're in the bottom level, that's good news for somebody in the Ridgecrest Baptist Church on this awesome Monday night service in August. And the good news is, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and I don't know your condition. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know how long you've been struggling, what you're struggling with, but I assure you, I guarantee you, I beseech you that if by faith in your heart you cry out to Jesus tonight, if by faith, if no matter what you've been going through, no matter how long you've been going through, I assure you, if you cry out to God, you can stop him. If you cry out to Jesus, you can stop him. I know there are all other people, hundreds of other people in here, but if you have a desperate cry, like blind Bartimaeus, he knows what pew you're on, he knows what section you're on, he knows what your need is, and he can minister to you tonight, you can stop him. Alcoholic, you can stop him. Drug addict, you can stop him. Gambler, you can stop him. Backslider, you can stop him. Church member, you can stop him. Lost sinner, you can stop him. Child abuser, you can stop him. Homosexual, you can stop him. Adulterer, you can stop him. Liar, fornicator, rape, whatever your condition may be, I've come tonight to let you know you can stop him. Whoever you are and whatever your condition may be, if you're ready to make a change, if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired, if you're ready to stop playing church, if you're ready to get God to get your situation right with God, if you're tired of is going through the motion week after week, month after month, year after year. If you're ready to change, I promise you tonight, if you cry out to God in faith, you can stop him. You can stop him. You can stop him, and you can have an encounter with Jesus Christ. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Which leads to my third and my final point. I hear Hunts calling my name. Notice Bartimaeus' condition. He was blind. And he wanted to see. Notice Bartimaeus' cry. Even though they told him, shut up. Be quiet. You're embarrassing us. We didn't come to hear you. But he cried out to Moses, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. But then finally, and thank you again, Brother Ray. I love you, man. Thank you, Ridgecrest, for making me feel at home. Bartimaeus' condition, Bartimaeus' cry. But look at number three, Bartimaeus' change. Look at Bartimaeus' change. Verses 51 and 52. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Brother Ray, what a strange question from Jesus. Preachers, what a strange question from Jesus. Sunday school teachers, what Bible readers, what a strange question from Jesus. I mean, he already knows everything. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. But yet, Jesus asked this man, what do you want me to do? It's because it was obvious the man was blind. It was obvious that he had been blind for a long time. However, Jesus asked the man, Bart, what do you want me to do? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe Jesus asked that question because Jesus wanted to make sure that Bartimaeus was ready for a change. That Bartimaeus was ready for, Jesus wanted to make sure that Bartimaeus was ready for his condition to change. He wanted to make sure that Bartimaeus was at the point in his life that he was ready to make a change. So Jesus just asked him, what is it that you want me to do? Ladies and gentlemen, because the fact of the matter is, there are some people who are just not ready to change. There's some people just not ready to be delivered. There's some people who've been not ready to be set free. They go through this program after this program. They go to this pastor and that pastor. They ask, this, can you pray for me? Can you pray for me? Can you lay hands on me? Can you help me? Can you get there? And they do good for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, and then they go right back to the same old thing. It's like a pig going back to their slop. They're okay for a week. They're okay for 2 weeks. They're okay for a month. But then they go back to the same situation that they were in that got them in that situation before. I've seen it with people in my own family. My mom, I'm in the middle of five kids. I have an older brother who had a drug addiction. My mom cried. She begged, Shelby, please get help. Shelby, please get help. Begged him, begged him. A smart guy can do everything he can on the computer. Begged him. My sisters and my brothers say, man, whatever we have to do to get you out of this situation, we're willing to do. Mama said, well, lock him out the house. And I said, don't y'all let him in the house. He would knock on the window by the bed and say, Fred, let me in. I said, man, I can't let you in. Mama said, you can't come in until you get yourself straight. He got chance after chance after chance. Until one day I was sitting in my office at the church, Ray, and his landlord came over and said, Pastor Luther, your brother Shelby is not answering the door to his house, to his apartment. And I knew what was happening then because he's the landlord. He got a key. And he said, I just want you to come and see what's going on. And I knew it. I walked in there. There he was on the floor dead. Drug overdose. I mean, smart as a whip. Served as a Marine in the military, can do anything with a computer, but he wasn't ready to give up the drugs to the point that I had to go identify his body. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, some people not ready to be changed. Some people not ready to be delivered. Some people not ready to be set free. Some people are comfortable in their condition. They're comfortable in their sin. So Jesus must ask the question. Because he's not going to force himself on anybody. He's not going to make you serve him. He's not going to make you worship him. He's not going to make you love him. So he's got to ask the question. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do for you? In other words, are you ready to make a change? The alcoholic can never be set free until he looks himself in the mirror and said, I got to stop this. The drug addict can never be set free. The abuser, until he looked himself in the mirror and said, this is it, this is enough. Sick and tired of being sick and tired. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to want your condition to change. Therefore, whatever your condition, whatever your stronghold, whatever your issue, whatever your addiction, whatever your situation, you must want to change. You must want to be delivered. You must want to be set free. You must want to be saved. Pastor Ray and I can pray, and others can pray for you over and over and over and over again. But until you look yourself in the mirror and say, that's it, that's enough, I'm ready for change, you will never get out of that situation. Until you're ready to be delivered, ready to be set free, ready to be made whole. Listen to Bartimaeus' reply at the end of verse 51. When Jesus asked him, sir, what do you want me to do? Blind Bartimaeus said, Rabboni, Rabbi, I want to receive my sight. Bartimaeus was ready to change his condition. Then look at verse 52. As I come to a close, then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, when Jesus heals you, you need to follow him. When Jesus sets you free, you need to follow him. You need to become a disciple. You no longer have to beg on the roadside. You no longer have to live in that situation. You no longer have to stay in that pit. You don't have to stay in that situation. When Jesus heals you, when Jesus delivers you, when Jesus sets you free, you need to follow Jesus. You don't have to live in sin anymore. You need to follow Jesus Christ. You don't have to live a defeated life anymore. Follow Jesus. You don't have to let the devil abuse you. Follow Jesus. You don't have to live a discouraged life. Follow Jesus. You don't have to live without joy, without hope, without peace, without purpose. Follow Jesus Christ. No matter your plight, no matter your condition, no matter your situation, no matter your issue, I dare you stop coming to church. I dare you stop coming to worship. And I dare you just come and look forward to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. Don't just come to church. Don't just come to say, I'm doing this because my mama want me to do it. I'm doing this out of tradition. No, when you come through those doors, when you come in the Lord's house, have on your mind, I've come to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. Forget about yourself. Concentrate on him and worship him. And your one desire is, I've come to Ridgecrest Baptist Church to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. I dare you have that decision. I dare you become a disciple. I dare you become a follower of Jesus Christ. Oh, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, he is in this service. He's in this sanctuary. I beg of you, I urge you, please don't let him pass you by. Please don't let him pass you by. Please don't let him pass you by. I don't care how long it's been. I don't care how long it's been. I don't care how long it's been. He's in the service tonight. Please don't let him pass you by. Therefore, if you're sleeping, wake up. Don't let him pass you by. If you're lukewarm, fire up. Don't let him pass you by. If you're dishonest, fess up. Don't let him pass you by. If you're disgruntled, sweeten up. Smile sometime. Don't let him pass you by. If you're discouraged, cheer up. Don't let him pass you by. If you're a strainer, make up. Don't let him pass you by. If you're a gossiper, shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Don't let him pass you by. If you got dry bones, get up. Don't let him pass you by. If you're down and out, pray up. Don't let him pass you by. Brothers and sisters, ladies and dear gentlemen, whatever your condition is, whatever your situation is, I have a word from God for you tonight. Have an encounter with Jesus Christ. Have an encounter with Jesus Christ. Have an encounter with Jesus Christ. Whatever you do, don't let him pass you by. Let him in today. Let him in today. Let him in today. He'll come in this day. Tonight, open up your heart and let the Lord come in. I'm not as good as Brother Tim, not as good as your choir, but when I was a kid, Brother Ray, I never will forget this song that our senior choir used to sing. And I'm just going to start it off. Tim, I do so bad, come in to help me out. But I want to close with this sermon by just remembering this song I used to hear as a kid. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Some of you remember it? Sing it. Y'all remember it? Yes, yes, yes. While on others, while on others, while on others die. Will you make that your prayer tonight? Do not pass me by. Come on, let's take it from the top. Is that the right way to take it from the top? Pass me not, oh gentle. Can that, let that be your prayer tonight? Hear my humble, hear my humble cry. While on others, while on others, while on others thou art calling. Savior, do not pass. And then the chorus went something like this. I'm calling you, Savior. Oh, sounds sweet. Savior. Come on, let it be your prayer tonight. Hear my humble cry. While on others, while on others, while on others thou art calling. Do not. Can we do that chorus one more time? One more time, one more time. I'm calling you, Savior. Oh, Savior. Lord, hear. Hear my humble. Let it be your prayer tonight. Lord, why on others thou art calling? Lord, please do not pass. Father, in the name of Jesus, that's my prayer for every last one of us in this sanctuary tonight. I don't know their condition. I don't know their situation. But God, I know we have an enemy. And he's out to steal, kill, and to destroy. God, there's some people in here tonight who may not be physically blind like Bartimaeus, but spiritually, God, they're going through some situations in their lives and they can't handle it by themselves. So God, as blind Bartimaeus realized that he needed Jesus in his life to change his condition, help us to realize that we need you in our lives to change our condition. And Father, I pray that as your spirit abound in this place, all across the bottom level, all across the balcony, that somebody here tonight will confess like blind Bartimaeus, will call out like blind Bartimaeus, Lord, while on others thou art calling, please don't pass me by. I beg of you, brothers. I beg of you, sisters, tonight to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless y'all. I love y'all. Y'all pray for me. I'll pray for you.
Well, another great word, and I thought about this verse, Fred. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And I love that statement that it stopped Jesus thinking in all the noise of the world. You think sometimes he's not hearing me. There's so much noise in my life. But against all the noise of the world, he hears the one voice that's serious and desperate, and it stops him. And I thought, isn't that an incredible Savior? That he can hear your cry. He can hear your voice. You say, really? Mine? Yes, yours.
and he'll stop and he'll come to your aid if you'll say, Jesus, Jesus, I need you. I want us to have a moment of invitation before we're gone. I'm going to ask you to stand, if you will. Tim's going to lead us. Words are going to be on the screen, I think. As we sing, look, wouldn't it be kind of silly to have a meeting and talk about Jesus not passing us by and then us just pass out without the opportunity for you to encounter God? If you're here tonight and you're not sure that you've ever had a real saving encounter with Jesus Christ, I want you to slip out when we begin to sing. There'll be staff members here to receive you. Come to one of us. We're not going to embarrass you. You're not going to have to say anything. We're going to pray with you and talk with you about that. You may be here tonight and say, I'd like to come and join Ridgecrest Baptist Church because it is the church where Brother Fred Luter is a member. Well, at any rate, maybe you're looking for a church home. We'd love to have you. Maybe you just want to come. Look, you have an encounter. One of the greatest encounters you can have with God is on a bent knee. Something powerful about the bent knee. In the balcony, in the ground floor, whatever. As we sing, you slip out right now. You come on.